Heavenly Father, amongst all the words spoken here this day, please, above all else, let your word be heard. Amen. Please be seated. Well, happy Mother's Day. Did I ever tell you I love May? May in New Smyrna Beach? I still love May. We have this week and next week, and then it all changes again. You know, the summer comes and a different influx of people will be here. But I love May. You know, it's funny, as I started to look at the scriptures for this week and study them, the one thing that jumped out at me, it was an old saying. Do you remember the old saying, information is power? Okay? You know, in this day and age, I think that so often we think we have so much power because we have so much information. But I wonder how many of us have so much disinformation at times. I wonder how much disinformation I have. You know, I mean, but then again, you know, keeps things, everything's moving. I mean, that's why probably gossip is so, in a sense, popular. Because, I mean, you think about it. You have all this information. You might not put it together exactly right. And you can make yourself look like you're really compassionate, but really you're controlling. You know, it's why cable news is so popular. You know, I mean, you feel like you got things in hand somehow. Yes, I have the knowledge of everything going right here at this moment. And yet, do you? I mean, do you have anything? You know, I've come to the conclusion over the years that most of us are still children, including myself, very much so. I'm a child, I admit it. And children are very good receivers, but very bad processors. They can't interpret. And so therefore, they don't interpret everything and put it together in a very understanding way. They can get to the wrong conclusion very easily. And I think a lot of us are like that at times. Think about your own personal relationships. Information that you may come in, it may have seemed like a slight where, why the heck didn't they call? Well, they may have been in a district of China that they couldn't get back to you. You know, I mean, I don't know how many times in my life I've made those kind of mistakes where the information back didn't come, or I said something and they gave me this look. Well, they might not have been thinking of me at the time. Who knows? Somebody didn't say hello to me that, by God, should have said hello to me. And yet, that's sometimes just life and has nothing to do with me. You see, we are lousy interpreters, and besides that, we're not the center of the universe. You know, I thought about all that when I looked at the gospel for today, because the gospel is the story of Jesus, and it's the story of Jesus in the temple. Here he is. It's wintertime. It's the festival of the dedication. Very simply put, that is Hanukkah. Ben Stiller sings about it. And it's Hanukkah, you know? I mean, it's the time of the celebration of what the Maccabees did in their time. And here they are, you know, celebrating Hanukkah in the temple. Jesus is walking through. And then all of a sudden, it says very clearly that the Jews come up to him and they say to him, why do you keep us in suspense? Are you the Messiah or are you not? Now, in the Gospel of John, there's two things I really want to point out. In the Gospel of John, whenever you see the word Jews, that usually means the bad guys. If you see the word Israelite, that means they're the good guys. And because in the Gospel of John, when the writer of John says Jews, he means the ones that killed Jesus. But the Israelites were the ones who stand with Jesus. In other words, Nathanael, he was a true Israelite. Also in the Gospel of John, whenever you see the word glory, you can almost interchange it with the word intimacy. In other words, the glory that you've given, the glory that the Father has given to me, Jesus says, I give to you. The intimacy the Father has given to me, I give to you. And so you can actually almost interchange the word glory with intimacy, and it'll make it where you kind of understand the scripture a little bit better. Because every time I think of glory, I think of, well, I went to battle and I won, you know? And yet, it's more about intimacy. Well, here they are. Jesus is walking through the portico of Solomon. The Jews come up to him, and they say to him, why do you keep us in suspense? Are you the Messiah or are you not? Now, are they asking because they really want to follow him? Or are they asking because, to be quite honest with you, if he says yes, that he is the Messiah, then they can present charges against him and do what they ultimately do. Because you see, if you claimed you were the Messiah, you claimed that you were a king. If you claimed you were a king, then you're in competition with Caesar. If you're in competition with Caesar, there is no king but Caesar. So guess what happens? You die because, you know, you can't do that. And here they want to know, don't keep us in suspense. I love that word, suspense. I wonder how many times that we've thought God keeps us in suspense. Anybody here ever have a prayer and you didn't get an answer? Everybody here, you know, pray to God for, you know, I need to know what I'm going to do next or whatever, and God doesn't tell you? Do you think God's just saying, well, let's make them squirm? You know, on Good Shepherd Sunday, I better not say that, huh? You know, or what is he saying? No, I think that sometimes, you know, he doesn't give us answers because he wants us to follow him. He doesn't just want us to have the right answers. Because life is made up of us not getting all the answers right. Life is made up of us learning how to trust and be in relationship with God. But how many of us would rather have the answers than, you know, than trust in God in the unknowingness, in the mystery of life? I mean, there's all of us want an answer to something. God, can't you just pull it together? You know, by God, I've been praying to you forever. Why don't you tell me? Why are you holding back? You know, I'll never forget one time when I was in the midst of, actually, it was in the midst of going through my divorce now 28 years ago or so, and I'll never forget praying to God and me saying, God, please speak to me. Why don't you talk to me? Why don't you give me the answer? And all of a sudden, as I'm saying that, all of a sudden I heard he goes, I do give you an answer. And I said, yeah, all you ever do is say, trust me, trust me, trust me. And I said, yeah, that's right. And he goes, I said, why that? I said, that's all you say is trust me. And he goes, well, that's the only answer I give the stupid questions you ask. You know, because it really comes down to trust. Most of us want our lives to be what? We want it to go smooth. We want to get from point A to point B. We want everything to fall in line. But is that really life? I don't believe that's what life is. I remember years ago traveling back and forth when my mom lived here in New Smyrna and I lived in Fort Walton, and going up and down the highways all the time. And I'd get on I-10, and as you're driving across I-10, you know what you discover when you go down I-10 a lot? Highway 90 crosses it a lot. You know, most of us want our lives to be like an interstate, like I-10. But I think it's much more like Highway 90. On I-10, you get from point A to point B, unless you got to stop for gas or go to the bathroom. Okay? But on Highway 90, you know, you'll probably stop at a Dairy Queen. You might have cattle crossing. You'll have school buses, that's for sure. You might get stopped behind some house that's on fire on the side of the road. And life is much more like that than it is point A to point B. You see, life is made up of a whole lot of events that mold and shape us. And the reason why we go through life is because God wants us to be molded and shaped by us. A lot of us want to avoid that. But that's why the events of life come into our lives. It's not so that, you know, God's sort of saying, well, I'm going to punish you by this. It's because he's giving us a large classroom whereby we can be molded and shaped with his hand through the events of our life. Most of us don't like that. Most of us don't want that. And sometimes, even when that happens, you know what we do that I think is the biggest mistake that we could possibly make? We don't let life mold and shape us. We take our identity from the events in our life. You know, we're not called to take our identity from the events of our life. Jesus makes that clear. The Jews come up, why do you keep us in suspense? Are you the Messiah or not? He said, well, I've already told you. You know, by the works that I do, I told you. And you know what? If you were one of my sheep, you'd already know it. But you're not one of my sheep, and that's why you don't believe. And you know what? The Father and I are one, and anything that Father's given me, he and I are going to hold on to. We aren't going to get rid of it. But you see, most of us let events in our life not just mold and shape us, but actually give us our identity. You know, I mean, what, it was a little over a year ago. Think if I was still your priest and I was walking up and down and every Sunday I'd talk to you about my broken leg. Oh, you know, my leg, it was broken, you know. Let me tell you the story again. You know, let me tell you the story again and again. I mean, yeah, please don't. I mean, it gets old, doesn't it? That's not my identity. I'm not a you know. And same thing, you know, in regards to what I do. You know, I mean, I'm Jim who does the work of a priest. I'm not a priest by the name of Jim. My identity is wrapped up in Jim Spencer. I got to be the best Jim Spencer in the absolute world. Good thing I got no competition, you know. There's only one of me, and there's only one of you. You see, your occupation doesn't define you. The events of your life don't define you. The relationships that are good and bad don't define you. Who defines you is God, the Creator Himself. And what He says is, you are a child of the Most High God. Live, live as a child of the Most High God. Know who you are. You're a sheep from my fold. You belong to me, and I belong to you. Be who you are. That will allow you to do what you're supposed to do. I mean, if you want to think about it, if there was anybody that walked this earth that could be defined by some traumatic events in your life, it's Jesus Himself. I mean, first of all, you know, He's born of a virgin. Then He goes through life. And then all of a sudden, He's baptized by John. And then all of a sudden, what does He do? He goes through, does ministry, nothing but good things for everybody. He's arrested, crucified, risen from the dead, and ascends into heaven. Now, He does all those things. And those things, some of them may have molded and shaped Him, but some of those things He did not because that defined Him, but rather because He knew who He was, and that's why He did it. You see, in baptism, when Jesus got baptized, the voice came from heaven. What did it say? You are my beloved Son with whom I'm well pleased. At that point, what did He do? He didn't do anything yet. He had never preached a sermon, healed anybody, raised anybody from the dead. So it's not what you do who makes up who you are. It's who you are that makes up what you do. And you are a child of God. You got to be the best that you can be as the Jim or the John or the Bill that you could possibly imagine, as the Mary. You got to be the best Mary that's ever walked this earth. And you can. You can be that because the Holy Spirit runs through you. But when you look at your life, you know, and you look at your life, sometimes it's hard to pull it all together. I don't know about you, I've always looked at my life as one big picture puzzle. I don't know why. I guess when I was young, I always did that, especially on Mother's Day with my mother and my grandmother. They made me put together a picture puzzle. I like the beginning of that because it's pretty easy. You get all the edges, you know, you get those all. They kind of frame you in, but then filling in the inside spots, and not so easy. You know, you try and fit them in, and sometimes you try and fit them in where they don't fit in. But God is the one that's supposed to follow us and lead us to show us where those pieces do fit in. But it's got to be us realizing that we are a child of God to allow God's hand that, by the way, keeps you safe. Nothing will be snatched out of His hand. God has the pieces of your life in His hand, and He wants to place them in the places they're supposed to be, not you place them in the places where they're supposed to be. Because you see, He's molding and shaping you through those pieces of life. He's molding you and shaping you into a beautiful picture of life. But sometimes we get to a certain level and there's a beautiful picture outside, maybe around the outside, but a big hole in the middle. I would venture to guess some of you have a hole in the middle right now. That's the time when you rely on God to say, here I am, I'm your child. Guide me in my life. Lead me in my life like the Good Shepherd. Be there for me and mold and shape me into who you called to me, who you called me to be. You know, yesterday I decided that I'd give Sally the best Mother's Day gift that I could possibly imagine. And so I went to see the Avengers movie, Endgame, with Don Schubert right there. That was the best gift I could give to her. She had 3 hours of freedom without me moving around the house. And, you know, and she didn't have to go see that movie. Now, I have to tell you, I don't go to the movies all that often. And so I went to see this movie, which, by the way, I was told there's 27 other movies before it that you're supposed to see. To be real honest with you, Don sitting next to me, I'm saying, who's this guy? Who's that guy? I don't even know who these people are. I never read any of those comics. I don't have a clue. But after a little bit of while of sitting in there, and I'm trying to get together, and how many of you have ever seen that movie? Any of you? Yeah, okay, then you know what I'm doing. Those of you who've seen it. You know, you watch the first part of it, and you know what that movie really is? It's the Blues Brothers. We're getting the band back together again. And then after a while, you get into the next part, and what is it? It's nothing but Braveheart. It's all this battling and fighting and beating up on everybody. And then you get to the end of it, what is it? Well, it's nothing but Independence Day. So you have a movie that's 3 hours long. That is nothing but the Blues Brothers, Braveheart, and Independence Day wrapped into one, but in a whole different setting. But there's a part in there that's really kind of interesting, because one of the superheroes, of course, is Thor, you know? And luckily, I had seen that movie. And, you know, Thor's that big guy. He's really buff in the whole nine yards. I always identified with him. But here's Thor, and in this movie, when you meet him, he's not exactly buff anymore. In other words, he got beat up by the bad guy a while back, and he just turned to drinking beer. He's got this big old gut, you know, and now he's got to be the superhero, but he's got this huge gut, and he's kind of all overgrown and scraggly in the whole nine yards. But there's a part in here that I want to bring up because it's Mother's Day. Because in the movie, in this true story, okay, Thor goes back and he's got to go into his homeland. And he goes back in his homeland and somehow he sees his mother, who actually, because they travel through time, they've gone back in years and it's before she's died. And he encounters her. And in the midst of it, she said, well, what are you going to do, Thor? And he goes, well, I'm going to go out and be who I should be. Be who I should be. And all of a sudden, his mother says to him, don't be who you should be. Be who you are. Don't be who you should be. Be who you are. Quit shouldn't on yourself. You are a child of God. You are a child of God. You're a sheep of his own fold. A lamb of his own flock, a sinner of his own redeeming. That's who you are. You're a child of the living God. Be that. Be the best one you can be. Go out and live that out in that sense of identity. Quit putting all this other stuff on top of yourself. Be who you are. And then watch the pieces of the puzzle come together. You may still be on Highway 90, stopping at every stoplight. But see how the pieces of the puzzle fall together in a way because God has orchestrated that for you. That's what we celebrate on this Mother's Day. That's what we celebrate on Good Shepherd Day. We celebrate a God who created us, sustains us, redeems us, lifts us up, and gives us life. Have the life he has set in front of you. Be who you really are. It's the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen. Please stand with me. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in